American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and a show starts at 7:30 p.m. All advance tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. And that's Derek by God King. Ringside with Derek will be just in case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more. A Night with the King. Hey, Tom, Missouri. Be there or be square.
Shiznit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in four varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shiznit sent you.
Anyone can suffer from recurrent or punctual erectile dysfunction due to stress, fatigue, or medical conditions. Stop feeling bad about it. Have better sex with proven solutions. Blue Chew can now offer you the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis at a fraction of the price, discreetly delivered to your door. Just pick the package that matches your needs and make sure you never get caught off guard at the moment you least want it. Blue Chew will help you gain your confidence back in the most convenient way. No waiting rooms, no appointments required, no embarrassing face-to-face meeting with your doctor. Your online prescription will be approved within 24 hours. You're just minutes away from a heightened sex life. Your performance will be as great as your dreams.
Use promo code STS. STS. It's your first month free. All you have to do is pay postage and handling. Now on with the show. Observing the Observer, and we will be watching, or we already have watched, Halloween Havoc, October the 23rd, 1994. If you want to follow along, it's in the October 31st, 1994 Wrestling Observer newsletter. And Lance, how the hell are you?
I am doing great right here in the Good and Fruity's studios in Chicago. You know, it's Halloween season, so we got Good and Fruity sponsoring the studio this week. So, really, we have to next year when we do the Observing the Observer, can you please give us some good shows? Please?
Man,
I'm asking nicely.
Yeah,
pick a year that was good stuff.
I didn't hate it as much as you did because you sent me a note last night. But It reminds me, every pay-per-view feels the same. That's mm-hmm. what I'm finding out. So when we pick another next year, I'm really thinking we're going to do WWE, and I don't know what year, but when we do it all in the same year like we did here, I want to see if we get that feel with the WWE too. But I just felt like, so we start out, oh, I got to first do it. I bet you didn't know.
Okay.
Because we start out
with Rob Parker. Rob Parker is all throughout this card. No, it better not be about Rob Parker's dong.
He ain't came out yet. Man, God. I bet you didn't know we had T. Graham Brown. He was actually doing the Star Spangled Banner. And I have seen him in concert.
Wow. I thought you were going to say you saw him nude in the locker room or something.
So I bet you didn't know.
In my notes, I have random country guy number 91 sings anthem. So there you go. So you assigned a name to it. And of course, one of the first images we see is Bobby Heenan in a neck brace, which I loved. Just seeing Heenan in a neck brace was awesome. And also Muhammad Ali in the front row throughout the entire card. Don't you think, like, as I'm watching this as a seasoned wrestling fan, I'm seeing Muhammad Ali in the front row. I'm like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. We got Ali's going to jump the rail. There's going to be some involvement from Muhammad Ali. This is going to be awesome, right? I mean, didn't you think that when you first saw him?
I did, but then knowing that he was,
he was already really sick at that point.
Yeah. He was getting really sick at that point. So I was just like, no, he's not going to do that. And then I made some funny comment. We'll wait till he actually gets in the ring. But yeah, Ali was front row, and I know he thought to himself, how long is this shit going to last? You know, that's I know he thought that at one point.
I also every once in a while they would show also Thomas Hearns, another boxer, Thomas Hearns. They showed like just a face shot of him in the crowd. I'm like, the directors were probably like, oh yeah, he's here too. We got to show him once in a while, you know, because Ali was facing the hard cam the entire show.
Right. And he's here too. All right, we start with surprise, surprise,
unbelievable,
Johnny B. Bad.
Johnny B. Bad in the opening match against Honky Tonk Man, how were they able to call him Honky Tonk Man? Was that not trademarked by Vince?
I would have to go back in my mind when they kept saying Honky Tonk Man. I think he actually trademarked that. He trademarked it.
Wayne Ferris did.
Yeah, Wayne Ferris. Yeah. And I'm going to say something. This is the weirdest thing, but I think that was the best Johnny B. Bad match we've seen.
I have to agree with you. Yeah.
Honky Tonk Man, he led him through the whole match. He did just basic psychology. I thought it was funny he has the strap, because that right there is Jerry Lawler suit, what he's wearing. But, man, I mean, everyone always talks about Honky Tonk Man being bad, but he got a damn good match out of Johnny B. Bad.
Cracked me up initially was he comes out with that weird jumpsuit, which is like the picture of Elvis on the front of that jumpsuit either looked like it was black Elvis or it was Michael Jackson. It just didn't not look like flat out Elvis on the front of his jumpsuit. So, but I thought what was ironic here is that Johnny B. Bad's shtick is Muhammad Ali's shtick. And he's right there in the front row, you know, doing the rope-a-dope type stuff and the shuffling of his feet and stuff. A couple things that I enjoyed was the kiss that don't miss actually missed. You know, Johnny B. Bad's punch missed, and they call it the kiss that don't miss. So I thought that was funny. Dave had mentioned, and I agreed with this too, they kept counting down the time, like a lot at the end of this. You know, like 1 minute to go. 45 seconds to go, 30 seconds to go. I'm like, okay, we're going to a draw. Thank you for making it so painfully obvious. So I agreed with you. Somehow, some way, they got a decent match going. There was nothing, you know, crazy good about it, but it was just a very textbook match, just a very textbook heel babyface match. It wasn't offensively a bad match, a Johnny B. Bad match that we've been getting. So I gave this one, believe it or not, I gave it 1.75. Dave had given it 1.25.
I gave it two stars, pretty much the same as me and you.
It was totally really watchable.
Yeah, and I thought it's funny because, so well, here's what I'm going to say right now. So Honky Tonk Man is better than Steve Regal. There we go. Woo!
Yeah, hot take. Hot take there.
And I bet you didn't know, I met Honky Tonk Man one time.
Of course you did, because you're cronies with all those guys.
He
wasn't nude in the locker room, was he?
No, he was WWE at the Mid-South Coliseum, and he was making fun of Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler. So it was hilarious. He was with,
as many of us do.
Yeah, he
frequently
was with Jimmy Hart, and Hart never really said anything, but Honky Tonk asked us how much they charge parking, and Jarrett's still trying to run this place. And, you know, he's real country, so he's as country as I am. It's pretty funny. We had the whole build-up for the Flair Hogan thing, which
It cracked me up that they had Mr. T spotted with Flair in Chicago. You know, there's video. We have video surveillance camera video of Mr. T and Ric Flair spotted in Chicago of all places. So that was just really weird. I mean, we'll get to that in the Hogan match at the end. Just really weird that they were trying to portray T as a heel ref.
I know, it made no sense to me. Here's my two favorite tag teams of all time. Actually, I enjoyed their match last month. Mm-hmm. But this match was not. It was just pretty much Bagwell taking all the heat and never did a hot tag. What the fuck? I was like,
Wonderful, which is Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma against Buff Bagwell and the Patriot, which are Stars and Stripes. So, like you said earlier, I just thought, oh, again? It's like I feel like I'm watching the same pay-per-view again because we just saw them matched up at the last show. So a couple notes that I made here was look how clean Bagwell looked here. Bagwell was like, you know, a squeaky, clean, you know, like John Cena-esque clean guy here. I'm like, oh, man, that's been a long time since he's been that clean cut. So I just thought boring, no heat. Another thing that was ironic to me, I don't know if you noticed this, but Paul Roma looks just like Johnny B. Badd, but with less charisma. Like, he's got the same kind of hairstyle.
They got the same body, exact same body.
Dark tan or blackness or whatever you want to call it, but zero charisma for Paul Roma. Orndorff's shtick for me is just awful. I hate when he does that, like, you know, the quivering knees and drops the elbow.
That shit.
And why was there a USA chant here?
I don't know. All four guys are from the States. No.
I just thought another textbook match, but this one was just super boring, way too long. Basic interference by the heels, causing the heels to win and a title change. So I had given it 1 star. Dave out of left field, 2.25 stars. I'm like, what the hell were you watching, dude?
I gave it 2 because mainly I like tag team, but yeah. I was just so at the end. I mean, you don't even have a hot tag. You just have You just have Bagwell take all the heat, and then he gets pinned. So it was just really weird.
It was interesting to me. Like I said, these first two matches were just like textbook, by the book, you know, babyface heel type stuff.
That's what made the opening match worth good, because Honky Tonk Man just said,
but yet in this match, it just never clicked, and it just never went anywhere. So just two matches that were totally by the book, but just opposite reactions.
Right after that, we had the Sherry Martel and Flair interview. I thought it was really good. Sherry is just, Sherry's just beautiful in person. Have you met her in person?
I have not. Had not.
I haven't really met her, but I've been live, you know, with her there. She never comes off to me on television as being as pretty as she actually was. And then she has all that makeup on and everything. But I thought that was a fun interview. We got a clip of the Dave and Kevin Sullivan angle, which was so bad. Oh, it was so bad.
I know we hated that back then, too.
We're looking
back on it now thinking, man, what were we thinking liking that? We hated it then, too. So Dave Sullivan against Kevin Sullivan, and all I wrote down was, oh, boy. I still say Kevin's trunks were way too small on this match. They showed numerous close-ups of Dave, and I thought, you know, he really doesn't look that much like Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry, he really doesn't. Dave winning on a cheap count-out, just an awful cheap count-out. I gave it 0.5 star. Meltzer gave it dud, which I hadn't seen dud in a long time, but there you go. Pathetic. This was just awful.
I dudded it.
And I like Kevin Sullivan. I really do. I've always liked him. I think, honestly, one of my guilty pleasures, one of my favorite characters of wrestling of all time is Kevin Sullivan. But this just didn't click, and this Dave was just awful. Ugh, it was so bad.
I put wins by a count out of the ring. Oh, my God, this was hard to watch. Dud.
Yeah.
That was it.
Fortunately, it was short. It really didn't go that long.
Five minutes and 17 seconds of terrible.
Yeah.
All right. I bet you didn't know. Uh-oh. Dave really is not Kevin's brother.
I thought he was Evad. Evad Sullivan. Yeah, they called him Evad or something at one point, too. It's only going to get worse. If we do more of these WCW shows next year, I'm sure it's only going to get worse with them. So then we go to what I was hoping was going to be a fantastic match. I really thought this was coming to the ring. It was Arn with Colonel Parker, and I bet you didn't know he has a big schlong. Arn with and Mang, bodyguard Mang, versus Dustin Rhodes, the natural Dustin Rhodes. And I'm thinking, oh, finally, we got something to look forward to here. And not so much, I didn't think. We were an hour into the show, and I thought, okay, we're going to get something watchable. Why was Dustin wearing Sting's gear, by the way? It was all like all kinds of fringe and stuff and multicolored like Sting gear. Sting wasn't on this card, so I guess Dustin had to wear his gear just to get it out on TV. So I thought, you know, they had built this up as a grudge match. Arn had turned on him not too long before this. And then they start with the fucking slow start. And I'm like, any grudge match, I got to have a fast start. I got to have balls to the wall action. I can't have collar and elbow tie ups, you know, on a grudge match. I'm sorry. I just can't. And that's how they started this. The only highlights for me was Dustin, that one dive over the top rope. He almost flew into Linda, our friend Linda Rufa, the photographer. He almost took her out. Dustin ends up winning with a roll up out of nowhere, and then of course Arn beats him up afterwards, so to get his heat back.
Yeah, I mean, they made something about Arn's move, the flip flop fly. I was like, flip flop fly.
That's Dusty.
Dusty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just love that. And then I made a note about Dustin diving to the front row. I like these guys a lot. I like all their, you know, yeah. But like you said, it really wasn't good. Dustin used a hot shot. They didn't call it a hot shot, but he did use it. I gave it 2.75, and Dave gave it
three and a quarter out of left field. I gave it 1.75 because based on my level of disappointment that they didn't really go that long, they didn't do much of anything, and my expectations were so much higher for those two guys because we had just seen Arn and Dustin both in other matches where they were both outstanding, you know. So this combination as a singles match, as a grudge match, I thought, it's going to be outstanding, and not so much. So I was really bummed, disappointed, 1.75 versus Dave's 3.25. I'm like, wow, we really big discrepancies on that one.
All right, before we go to commercial, I bet you didn't know this.
Uh-oh.
You know that move that Dustin used, the clothesline to the back of the head to Arn Anderson? I did that when I wrestled in Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that knocked Arn bald. That clothesline knocked off Arn's head.
Gotta be a bald joke. All right, guys, let's go to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Choosing the Shiv Kit is sponsored by SpunkLube.com. SpunkLube is an award-winning personal lubricant that's fun. SpunkLube is available in 4 varieties: hybrid, pure silicone, natural, and pink. Place your order today at SpunkLube.com and tell them Shootin' the Shit Knit sent you.
This is your bedroom. This is your bedroom with Blue Chew. Blue Chew uses the same active ingredients as in Viagra or Cialis, but now comes in chewable form. Chewable means better, cheaper, and works faster than pills.
I've tried Cialis, I've tried Viagra. Blue Chew works the best. It's a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's definitely gotten the job done.
No in-person doctor visit, no waiting in line, no more awkwardness.
Blue Chew allowed me to have more sexual freedom because it kicked in and worked faster.
Ordering Blue Chew is an absolute no-brainer for any man.
Blue Chew makes my girlfriend, like, want to put up with me in bed.
I felt like I did when I didn't have ED.
Order online to get your first month free.
I want my girlfriend to want me, and with Blue Chew, she really does. Blue Chew is the future of manhood.
That's BLUEChew.com. Promo STS, and you get to try it for free.
Wow.
I hear you.
Wow.
American Hostile Championship Wrestling brings you A Night with the King. This is a Fraternal Order of Eagles scholarship fundraiser on November the 9th, 2009 at 600 East Washington Street in Hayti, Missouri. That's right, November the 9th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30 p.m. All advance tickets are only $10, $12 at the door. Call Mark for tickets at 636-232-3313. A Night with the King. Stop right there. And that's Derek, by God, King. Ringside with Derek will be just in case. We'll also have the LA Hustlers, the Missouri Bad Boys, and many, many more. A Night with the King. Hey, Tom, Missouri. Be there or be square. Hey, back with commercials. Thanks to Spunk Lube, Blue Chew, and American Hostile Championship Wrestling. A program note. No shout-outs tonight. A program note. Monday, Lance will be doing a Choco Special Edition. Mm-hmm. He will do the Bound for Glory live review. He's going to talk That's about right. being there live. And it will not be released until Monday night sometime. So, yep. during Raw, I'll put it out to the Patreon members first, and then it goes out by midnight usually. And it will be by midnight, but it'll be late Monday. So, and then Wednesday, yep. we'll have Wednesday Night Dynamite, and then coming up next Friday, we have our Halloween edition. And believe it or not, Lance came up with the idea, so he don't get the loot box. So sorry, Lance. You excited about Bound for Glory?
I'm super excited for Bound for Glory. We have third row ringside seats. They had some weird name for it, like the Golden Circle Blowjob section or something.
Oh, wow,
so
cool.
It's third row ringside at the Odeon. It's sold out, which is awesome. It should make for a really fun live crowd. Totally excited. You know, I've been saying I've always fought an uphill battle being a fan of Impact and TNA, and I'm hoping that they put a damn good card together. I've been loving them showing the pay-per-views on Access this whole month, getting ready for the move there. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great card set up and really looking forward to it. So, yeah, we'll record something on Monday afternoon with a live vantage point of being at the show. So really highly looking forward to my second Bound for Glory because they were in Chicago about 10 years ago for it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. The card looks awesome. And, you mm-hmm. know, I usually participate and buy the pay-per-views when it comes to Impact because I like to, you know, it's just like the AEW pay-per-views. We like to mm-hmm. Help the even though Mr. Khan's probably got more money than the guys. I don't know. I heard rumors that they actually gave Jericho a good offer there. Not as much as Khan, but I'm just excited. I like the roster now with Impact, and just excited to see everybody that they're bringing in. You'll get to see a lot of people you never thought you'd be able to see, so it's kind of fun, too. All right, let's get back to this is not Bound for Glory, but
Halloween Havoc 94.
Jim Duggan
sure.
against...
Well,
Stone
before
Cold,
that,
Steve
though,
Austin.
Before that, we had the Hulk Hogan promo to mention. The one thing that stood out to me is that why do you have Jimmy Hart and Brutus Beefcake just basically just standing there nodding and shaking their heads the entire time? They're never contributing anything to the Hogan interview with, I think it was probably Okerlund. So it's like they just sit there like total yes men in the background, and that's all it is. I'm like, God damn, they're just sucking off of Hogan's teat, you know?
That's the only reason.
Awful.
Bruce, yeah, either one of them was there, and then we got the finish of the main event was
right.
the reason they did have.
Right.
I want to think that's the reason they had Brutus Beefcake there. But you're right. It's only because they were friends. And Hart was, you know, Hart was always with Hogan and thinking
to
about
this
how,
day. Still.
Yeah.
Still.
Every time he shows up somewhere, Hart's right with him. So, yep. All right, here we go. Austin against Duggan.
Dugan.
I'm gonna surprise you here. I really like this match.
You are surprising me.
I gave it 2.5. Dave gave it 2. I thought Austin was just working his
so
ass
good.
Off.
Yep,
yeah,
so
just
good.
Bumping it like crazy. And here's two guys that I really did. I liked them back in the day. Duggan and him also. And we talked about Honky Tonk Man. I seen a lot of stuff in Observer all the time about Duggan being so bad, Honky Tonk being so bad. And after watching some of this stuff, I mean, Duggan was Duggan. He was just did what he did. I love his punches. I love his comeback. Kicked him right in the Happy Meal. That's what that's what Bobby said. Austin, like I said, working hard. Funny thing about Steve Austin, he had U.S. champ on the back of his
like iron-on letters on the back of his
truck.
So I thought as I'm coming into this, I'm like, please give us an actual match this time because, you know, last time they didn't even do a match. It was just that cover and the finish. So I thought going into this, I thought, oh, there's no hope here. This really is a one-match card, you know. But Austin had a real fast start. Like I had said earlier, I love a fast start to a match, so I was really happy with that. You could see Austin's greatness here. I mean, he'd already been a performer in the business for a couple years going into this at that point. But, boy, you could see that that guy had greatness in him at this point. It just everything he did was so good here. I believe it or not, you're going to be surprised. I gave it 2.25. It was a fun match, but I thought the finish was absolutely the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. Austin got DQ'd for throwing him over the top rope, and I'm like, wait, hasn't that happened in this card on other matches? There's been other, and just such a cheesy and lame disqualification, like over the top rope. So that was dumb, but yeah, fun match. I gotta agree with you. It was a fun match, and Duggan did not offend me in how bad he was on this one.
How bad he was. Think about it is he just was such a regional when it was Mid-South, such a big star, one of the big, huge gates and everything. And I bet you didn't know that Bill Watts called him Duggan. Did
Duggan.
You know that?
Yeah. I did know that. I learned that on Shooting the Shiznit a couple of weeks ago.
We had Sting come out, talk a little bit about the main event, and set ringside. So there you go.
With Muhammad Ali. With Muhammad Ali. And then did you notice about four people down from them, there was like a Dolly Parton wannabe. She had this big, giant blonde wig on, and she was all like, talk about a total mark. Boy, she was like every baby face. She was all up in arms and cheering and going crazy and giving shit to the heel. So then we go to Guardian Angel, who is, of course, Big Boss Man against Vader. And again, I'm thinking, okay, got a great match. You know, we got another good setup. We've seen these guys do some great stuff before. Like you said, Sting was sitting with Ali, so I thought, oh, angle alert here. You know, definitely, why would Sting have all of a sudden come out and sat with Ali at ringside? So Vader slammed into Race, and that looked really brutal. And then the mask went flying off. And once again, you know, my reaction, I'm like, hey, it's Leon White. Look at that. Some really stiff punches from Vader to the jaw of Angel on this one. Did you know? I mean, was it me or was Vader just massive in this match? He was about as big as I'd ever seen him in this match.
Yeah,
he just seems so big.
Big, big boy right here.
Yeah. There was that weird sequence towards the end, too. He looked like he hurt his arm on a clothesline, and then Angel was, like, laid out for, like, a solid minute on the mat. So, I don't know. It was just a really weird sequence, and then they just came back and they went back to it. So, I'm not sure if anybody was really hurt at that point or they were just stalling for time for Vader's arm to feel okay. The match just came to a weird screeching halt for a minute there, so I don't know what that was all about. So, typical finish, Race distracts Angel, Vader splashes him for the pin. We've said it before, these guys had great chemistry. I gave it 2.75. I was wanting a longer match. That was my only complaint, really, about this match, is that I thought that they could have gone a few, you know, 5-6 minutes longer. So, Dave, also 2.75. Just really solid, again, from
this
guys.
That's what I gave it, 2.75. I went with that. I never look at Dave's ratings before I give my own, and then I just like, oh, well, we come close there. I like watching these two guys beat the fuck out of each other. That bump that Boss Man does where Vader clotheslines him over the top, well, he don't just take it over the top. He goes all the way over, and he goes face first on the outside, on the hardest part of the ring. On the outside, Lawler used to do that bump. This is, I bet you didn't know, but Lawler used to do this bump, and the first night I ever met him, he was like, is there anything, you know, I was going out to watch him. He's like, is there anything you want to see tonight? And that was one of my favorite bumps. And I said, will you do that? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we're in front of like 200 people. I'm not doing that bump. What if I get hurt? So that was really funny. Vader's punches I'll mark out for every time because all I go is ouch, so ouch, ouch. That top rope headbutt looked god awful. Vader, here's the funny thing. Vader got a babyface pop for the win.
Yeah, he did.
And I was like, well, they're tired of that. Also, I didn't know they would that these were even up there, but you know, Vader was popular in Japan doing UWFI. And they've got, if you want to see work shoot stuff, they've got so much of his stuff over there on YouTube, which I figured you couldn't get that stuff over here because of the copyrights. But I remember it was hard to get on tapes. So if you're an old tape trader and you want to watch all the Vader stuff, UWFI stuff, it's fun. It's a total different style. It's kind of like shoot work. So
what are tapes?
Oh, yeah. What was I thinking? Yeah.
What are tapes? So before we get to the next match, there was a video montage getting the angles over, and I did not need to see a shirtless Brian Knobbs. That's all I want to say. I did not need to see that. Brian Knobbs. Normally they come out with the, you know, they have, I think there's like tank tops and then t-shirts over that with the Nasty Boys. So they showed a beating in the back or in the locker room or something with Brian Knobbs with no shirt on. Now I know why they always have multiple shirts on. So the next match was Bunk and Fuck, which, or Funk and Buck or something like that. It's like, I can't even say that without swearing. So Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck, Rob Parker was with them. Now, do you have any fun stories you can
tell? Hey, I bet you didn't know he's got a big cock. So I bet you anyway, didn't know that.
Buck and Funk against the Nasty Boys.
Butthead. He called them Butthead and Butthead. He called the Nasty Boys.
It's always weird to me for the Nasty Boys to be faces. You know, I don't know. There's just something weird. They just come across as natural heels to me, and they always did. So I'm not sure, like, the portraying them as faces just didn't work. Terry Funk hitting himself in the head with that hard-ass chair, too. It was not some folding, like, easy chair. He just, to, you know, establish more of his crazy, maniacal character, nails himself in the head about 10 times with this chair. And I just wrote, what the fuck? And then the finish on this, I don't know if you want to cover anything before the finish, but the finish was so fucking weird because it was supposed to be Sags pile driving Terry Funk on a pumpkin, on a jack-o'-lantern, and basically Sags just flat out sits on the pumpkin to make sure that the pumpkin, you know, gets destroyed. There's no part of Terry Funk that even touches that pumpkin. So it was just Sag's ass just crushing that pumpkin. So I gave it 2.25. I really enjoyed it. It was like a weird fuckery kind of finish. Meltzer gave it 1 star. Again, like a really diverse grading scale here. But I just, for the talent that was involved, for Terry Funk, just to see some of the crazy shit that Terry Funk was doing here, I kind of enjoyed this match.
I did. I gave it 2 stars. It wasn't anything. And I'm a fan of every – I'm not a fan of the Nasty Boys. I never really have been. But Funk and Buck – fucking Buck.
Funk
and
Buck,
I actually wrote Funk and Buck fight each other. You forgot to say about that. They started fighting each other at one point. I just love the act. And we talked about this last time, I think, but – Golden or Bunkhouse Buck, man, you think about he had a huge role here, and I just I didn't remember him being such a big deal. You know, he's you know, just a good hand, you know. So, but yeah, fun match. It's about 8 minutes. Like I said, 2 stars.
Yeah,
now we're to the. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, fun match, and then we go to the Ali plaque and check presentation. No shenanigans, you know. I'm thinking they got Ali in the ring. And I'm thinking, oh, we're going to have some fun with this. You know, he's going to knock somebody out, do some stiff, you know, fake punch or whatever. And you could see his hands were already trembling at that point, you know. So he was already showing the signs of the, whatever it was, Alzheimer's or whatever he had.
And, you know, hold on. But you know who was in the ring with him was Eric Bischoff. And I yelled, here's what I yelled at the screen. Get them losers out of the ring. Talking about Ali. I was like, man, I can't believe I talked about Ali like that. But we just seen Eric Bischoff this week getting fired. I was like, what the hell, Eric Bischoff? So, yeah, crowd was, let me just say, the crowd was so fucking hot for all this stuff. And then the introductions, oh, they were just so hot. this was to be their end of their career, and this was what year? 1994. I did look it up just for the hell of it. The best I can tell is Flair's last match was in 2011, and Hogan's was in 2013.
Yeah. So yeah. So this was portrayed. It really was a one match card, you know, because I mean, other stuff was okay. A lot of it really was terrible. At this point, just before they go to the introductions, Bobby Heenan says this is the greatest pay-per-view of all time. Going into this match, he said that this, you know, even if they didn't have this as the main event, he says this is the greatest pay-per-view of all time. And I thought, oh, dude, I can't believe you're trying to sell me that bill of goods. So they do the introductions with Michael Buffer, like you said, which, again, if I'm Gary Michael Capetta, I'm like, fuck you, Michael Buffer. You know, I get to announce the entire card, but I don't get to announce the main event. Screw you. You know, I would be so pissed about that. So anyway, we'd have to, if I ever meet that guy, Capetta, I'll have to ask him, like, did he have resentment? He'll probably say no. But why is Mr. T, who is a Hogan buddy that everybody knows is a Hogan buddy, why is he the ref? Like, they try to do that whole thing where, you know, they were trying to say, oh, you know, he might be turning, and they were trying to make you think that he could be a heel. But I'm like, what the fuck is the point of this? They might as well have had Jimmy Hart as the referee, you know?
Oh, it was so horrible. I didn't get it either. I was just like, I don't get this.
They lower the cage, and I noticed there's no top on the cage. So we're obviously going to have all kinds of shenanigans because there's no top on the cage. It starts, like, just awful. Like, just Hogan's clotheslines are so bad. What was weird to me, too, is we're in that phase where there's no blading going on.
Just so weird. So weird because
they have Flair's head gets raked across the cage multiple times. And I don't know if you caught this, but there was one point where it must just be Ric Flair muscle memory where you saw him like basically move his hand to his forehead like he's about to blade. After he did that, after they did a bump where he went right face first into the cage, like his hand does this phantom motion to his forehead and then he comes up dry. And I'm like, oh, he must have realized, you know, it was just like force of habit that he put his hand up by his forehead. He was going to cut himself. So I thought there was one point where like there was a teeny trickle of blood on his forehead. So I'm like, that's probably hard way because they weren't allowed to do it back then. So just all the usual spots that we saw, you know, over the years from both of these guys 1,000 times. Hogan with the trembling selling, I thought that was actually okay. Flair begging off, Flair doing the pratfalls and getting crotched on the top rope and the chops. But how about Hogan's punches? You talk about making Cena's punches look good. Hogan's punches here were just awful, god awful.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. You know, I'm just in shock about what Dave actually gave the rating for this match. And I don't know if it was just the time. And that's the reason we do this. We observe the observer and kind of look at what he said compared to what we're watching now. And it, to me, I thought it was real sloppy all around. I think it would have been better if it was just, you know, more of the old, you know, heel just beating Hogan, and Hogan making a comeback, 1, 2, 3, it's over. But they did all kinds of shit at the end.
Yeah, I mean, part of what actually where it got entertaining, I kind of am disagreeing with you on that, because part of where it got entertaining was all the fuckery that got involved, you know, like Sherry Martel climbing the cage and then them ripping her dress off, and she's basically working. I mean, this was like somebody's fetish somewhere, is she's working, you know, with handcuffs, and she's doing these double sledges wearing panties and, you know, lingerie and stuff because they ripped her dress off as she was trying to climb the cage. This was, like I said, this was like somebody's big fetish, getting her up there in pantyhose. So I thought all the fuckery made it and made it entertaining. I don't know that I certainly couldn't give it 4.25 like Dave did. I had given it 3. But I thought it was entertaining because of all the interference and because it was so over the top, as far as literally over the top on the interference. Why was Mr. T sweating so much? That was another question I had.
Mr. T loved his mama too. I just want y'all to know that.
He just sweating like a pig, and I don't understand why. So Sherry took all kinds of bumps. I thought really, honestly, there's a case to be made that Sherry was the MVP of this match because she took so many bumps and entertaining towards the end of it. Hogan obviously wins with the leg drop. Flair has to retire. which I wrote in big capital letters, LOL, on Flair have to retire. So I know, you know, Dave wrote a diatribe that I couldn't even finish reading because there was so much to it, but about, you know, this is the send-off that Ric Flair gets in his career match. And obviously, looking back in retrospect, there's no way that was going to be, you know, his career final match. But you know, they basically rushed Flair out of there afterwards, after whatever it was, a 15-20
minute match.
Oh, yeah,
and then he did the Hogan thing, and that's what they were going to do. So it was just like, okay, you do the job, see you later, bye. And,
right,
and that
right.
was really weird. And then, you know, we had the angle at the end.
So the masked man that had been interfering and taken out Hogan, and, you know, for months, they had done some kind of masked man gimmick where it was like a knockoff of the Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding type shit. And they have the masked man unmasked and it's Brutus Beefcake in the ring. So basically all of this was essentially, you know, setting up that angle to finish the show where Brutus comes out with Kevin Sullivan and Earthquake, who I think they were calling Avalanche at that point.
Yeah.
Laying out Hogan, and then Sting makes the save. And like you had said, you referenced earlier, the crowd was just absolutely molten
just nutty,
hot
just
for this
fucking
thing.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. And Hogan loved working Earthquake, Avalanche. He just loved him because he's such mm-hmm. a big guy and he could do all the moves on him and just make the comeback and beat him. That was pretty much him against King Kong Bundy or this guy, and so it was something that they were bringing in, and it's old WWE stuff, so it's kind of just weird. It was just not this was an okay show, but it went fast for me, but just not as I couldn't give it. I gave this match 3 stars, and I thought to myself, maybe in the moment I would have gave it more, but I just don't know. It just really wasn't. Like you said, maybe all the other stuff was, you know, to me it felt like it was too long and that all that other stuff was just added that, you know, let's do this. No, let's do this, you know.
Well,
and
that's
I
the
just
thing. They threw so much shit at you in that match as the finish, as far as the finish of sequence, the finishing 5 minutes or so of that match. I appreciated it because the wrestling previously had been so bad. Like Hogan's wrestling in this one especially was just awful, just terrible. So I mean, as a spectacle, as an entertaining match, I agree, 3 stars. I don't know where Dave was getting the 4.25, but it ended the show okay. I mean, in terms of the thumbs up and thumbs down and best matches and stuff, the voters said that Flair and Hogan was the best match on the card by far. I read that. I'm like, I guess. You know, I mean, that was my reaction. I'm like, I guess, because
so much of the rest
of the card sucked, you know. So, I mean, about the only other thing that I could see challenging it was Guardian Angel and Vader was 2.75 for me. So, I mean, and this got 3. So, I mean, as far as actual work goes, I thought Guardian and Vader was definitely a better match.
Yeah, it's all about the story and everything. You're right. Mm-hmm. It probably was the best match, but not what Dave thought it was.
Right.
One last, I bet you didn't know. I did not meet him, but Hogan was in Blavo, Arkansas at one of my first times that I went to the matches. He was working heel, and he had a heart of hair on his chest.
Oh, I've seen pictures of that. That's just weird. So I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have been for years, I've been wondering, and I've never asked you, can you spell the name of that city? Because I, honest to God, and I'm not ripping on your accent.
I know you're not.
I have no idea what you're saying when you say Blavel, Arkansas.
I say it so many times because it is the place that I started, that I actually started going to wrestling at, went to it my whole childhood and up until I was a teen. It's B-L-Y-T-H-E-V-I-L-L-E.
Blytheville is what it sounds like, then. That's how it's spelled. Honestly, every time I hear you say it, it sounds to me like you're saying B-L-A-H-V-I-L-L-E, Blaville. Like, that's what it sounds like. And you've had other people on the show that also say the name of that city, and they say it the same way.
Right. That's the way it's said around here.
I'm like, I wouldn't want to live in Blaville. That sounds so boring, Blaville.
If you get anybody from doing a news story, they'll try to do it a little different. It's actually the home of my middle child. She works as a dispatcher in Blytheville, Arkansas.
Blytheville. Okay. So anyway, so wrapping this up, thank you for clarifying that finally, because I've always wondered that. So Observer readers gave this card 30% thumbs up, 20% thumbs in the middle, and 50% thumbs down. I think they got it right. because I think it was pretty much thumbs down for me too. That Hogan Flair match, like I said, I guess that would be the best match. The worst match by far was the Kevin and Dave Sullivan. I heartily agreed with that. It was so bad. So, yeah, I don't. The one person I disagree with on half this card was Dave himself. I don't know what he was watching. He definitely maybe had a few gin and tonics before he watched this card or something.
Hey, guys, thanks for joining us. Same bad time, same bad channel on the best little wrestling podcast in the business. Be there. And as everybody knows, I love my mama.
And as all you listeners know who we truly love and appreciate, I have fun everywhere I go, and I'll be going to Bound for Glory in about 72 hours.
Graphic design is very important. Your logo is the first image potential customers see. What kind of impression would you want to make today? Need a podcast logo or a t-shirt design? KT does art. Her name has become synonymous with quality and professionalism in the graphic design community. She specializes in graphic design, painting, and more. She provides affordable commissions and professional quality with a timely delivery. Contact KT via email at KT_does_art@yahoo.com. Check out her Instagram at Instagram.com/KT_does_art.
That was another great episode of Shooting the Shiznit. Looking for contestants for Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever? That's right, contact me and be a contestant on Who Wants to Be the Best Shiznitter Ever. A big shout out to our sponsors this month. Also, remember, we have a Patreon for only $1. That's patreon.com, Shooting the Shiznit without the G. A special thanks to Bob McGee at Pro Wrestling's Between the Sheets, Gene Jackson at locals2legends.com, and Sean Garmer at Wrestling to Max website. You can reach me on Comic Book Mark BT on Twitter, at BT Shooting the Shiznit on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook with a Shooting the Shiznit Facebook page. We have the Cool Kids Wrestling and MMA Talk Facebook group. If we don't like you, we'll kick you out, but you also have to ask to get in. All the archives are at www.stspod.club. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Spreaker, Spotify, and all the fun podcast players. Podcast Roll Call. A big shout out to Creative Control. Keeping it 100. Memphis Memories with Randy Hales. And my buddies over there at P3 Radio, Max and Josh. Guys, I am Brian Trammell. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. We get it all.